Thank you for being with us today here on the CGMF Prayer Line. And we're going to be having some segments in the next day or two from a message I preached a couple days ago on, Lord, deliver me from presumptuous sins. Lord, deliver me from presumptuous sins. And I pray that this message will be a blessing to you in the next day or two, the various aspects we undertake to look into and gain insight from the Word of God. And I wish you could have been in the session we were in, but I pray that you'll catch the spirit and the flavor, and as well gain revelation and understanding in your personal life through this message that we preached recently at one of our CGMF Bible studies. Get your Bibles out if you can today. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Psalm, chapter 19. I preached from this passage of Scripture before, but what I'm going to emphasize today is going to be a little bit different than probably what you've heard me minister from in the past. I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. Later on, I'm going to read from the Common English Bible. There's two particular passages of Scripture I'm going to undertake to bring to your attention today. And I pray that they'll minister to you in a very special way. But before we do so, let's pray if we could. Heavenly Father, in your precious name, we pray that you'll touch and bless this time in your word. And I pray that you'll strengthen each and every one who listens to the word and has eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I pray that you'll give them insight, clarity into their daily walk. And I pray the Holy Spirit to anoint the word of God in a very special way today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the New King James Version of the Bible, Psalm chapter 19, and let's begin with verse 1. That would be absolutely fine for us to begin with that verse of Scripture today. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Now we get into the more familiar portions of Scripture. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is, I like this part, great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Now, take particular attention to the next verse. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over him, over me. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I want to look back at verse 13 for just a moment. I'm going to go back to verse 1, and we're going to kind of walk through this chapter. But our emphasis is going to be upon the subject matter of, Lord, deliver me from presumptuous sins. Lord, deliver me from presumptuous sins. And so I want us to look very introspectively and as well, like a microscope, into the word and phraseology of verse 13, and especially considering this subject matter of presumptuous sins. From the Hebrew word being spoken of here, considering presumptuous, then sin naturally talks about that which is a transgression against God, it means to boil, to boil up, to seethe, to act proudly, act presumptuously, act rebelliously. Be presumptuous, be arrogant, be rebelliously proud. In other words, being arrogant and proud is what being presumptuous is in committing sin. Now, when you first look at that and you hear that definition, you might say to yourself, I'm not that way. I'm very aware that I need to humble myself before the Lord, and I need to be careful about sin, guile, transgression, or iniquity. However, many times we blatantly just walk through things and go through things, and with our pride and arrogance, considering we're in the right, or considering, hey, this isn't going to cause too much harm, or in whatever case or scenario we make for ourselves, we become presumptuous and commit sin. And we allow ourselves to be that person who makes transgression. And so we separate ourselves from the perfection of God's word and the grace of God, and we find ourselves in a precarious position because we allow for sin to have blanketed us, and we find ourselves in a position of not being in right state with God and man. Now, there's an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who we can go to, and God can forgive us our sins and cleanse us from our transgressions. But sometimes we need to recognize how we got into the place that we have found ourselves in, and how we can find ourselves not having that kind of mindset for the future. And so it's important to understand that arrogance, or the spirit of it, or pride, has its way of interjecting itself in our walk with Christ. And sometimes, because of our statement, or our doctrine, or because of how we feel about a matter, or a position, etc., we actually allow sin to take place in our life because we think in some contorted way we're in the right. Or we look through the situation and say, hey, I know this is wrong, but I deserve this. Or, something's happened that has made this right in some way, shape, or form. We conclude that in our way of thinking, and we find ourselves to be wrong in its acting out. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. There's the key. I don't want that kind of mindset of arrogance, of pride, to have dominion over me and think that somehow in my own nature I can delineate and make judgment upon what God considers sin or not. Let me just instead look into the mirror of His Word and take it for what it is, and help me, Lord, to make things right with You. And help me to see my character and my person become that which You want me to be through the molding force of Your Holy Spirit. That's hopefully what we're going to take out of this lesson today. Let's look back at verse 1 of chapter 19 here. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. The heavens, everything around about heaven and the handiwork of creation is God's. His. And the foundational precipice of Christianity, the foundational precipice of religion, or let's say Hebraic culture and religion, is the fact that God is central. And faith in Him and everything it comes from derives from the grace and the knowledge of God and His being who He is, the all-sufficient one, the eternal one, and the creator of heaven and earth. When we begin to really respect and understand who God is, and that He does love us, and that He wants us to be redeemed by His precious love, and He wants us to bear forth good fruit, we will begin to see that God, in His intricate plan, has something for us to accomplish within the vastness of creation, in our little particular piece of the world. And He wants us to be successful at it. But we have a problem at sometimes getting ourselves out of God's way and allowing His Spirit to reign supreme and the Word of God to be that which we allow ourselves to be immersed in, to recognize the course, the ideals, the principles that we need to live by. But if we will understand that and understand that the very heavens declare the glory of God and that God is in the midst of everything, whether we don't see Him or feel Him or touch Him, it doesn't matter. He is there. And that He fills all in all. You know, sometimes when we're doing something, we forget that God is there. You know, as a child, you know, hey, you know, you looked around sometimes when you did something that you knew maybe mom and dad didn't really like, but, you know, you did it anyway with your friends because you thought it'd be fun. And, you know, sometimes mom and dad all of a sudden miraculously popped up. They were probably watching you the whole time, but you think miraculously they popped up. Oh, no, and I'm in trouble. You know, God is always there. And if we kind of lived out that mindset and not just looked at Him as this God up there who is watching, but yet, you know, hey, He's going to love me no matter what I do. You know, and recognize the fact that He wants us to walk in righteous paths and to see the fruit of God's grace. That, yeah, He might forgive us at times, but yet He wants us to get it right when it comes to living righteously. You know, we would learn a lot from that kind of mindset. And we would begin to live out more according to God's will if we had that mindset that He is there. He's here. I am not holding anything out from Him viewing and recognize that, hey, He isn't just winking His eyes and just saying, okay, I'm not going to look at that, or, you know, putting on a blindfold. He wants us to get things right in life. He wants us to lay right foundations. He wants us to be successful. And so that takes on an understanding of looking at Him for who He is and also His Word and beginning to walk respectfully in it. Verse 2, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. God's Word, God's creation, speaks to us. God is ministering to us throughout creation and is ministering to us in a very special way. And we just have to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear what the Lord is speaking. Verse 4, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit is to the other. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. There's nothing that's hidden from God. He is the Son of Righteousness. He'll expose anything that comes to light, no matter what darkness it might be, and show things for what it is. There is nothing hidden from His heat. I want you to know today, in my life and yours, there's nothing hidden from the Lord. And if we can begin to more and more so walk in our hearts and lives, recognizing that, what a beautiful thing it will be. I remember many years ago, I used to play tennis proficiently, and I was quite good at it as a teenager. And one particular day, you know, my pastor, John Gary Nordstrom, came to watch me play tennis when I was kind of playing a revenge tennis match. Let me explain that in this sense. The person I was playing against was a person that I had beat in the city championship in junior high, and he wanted a rematch, and so we were going to play, and I had recently got, you know, mad at myself. I didn't lose the match, but I got mad at myself, cracked my racket there, and the pastor found out that, you know, after I went to him and started to talk about my temper and you know, my perfectionism with playing tennis, that, you know, there's a problem there. Well, I go to play this match, this quote revenge match, or this repeat or part two of the city championship. And he was there. You know, it was not easy for me to contain myself, but it really helped me look at things differently while he was there. And I contained my temper. I contained my frustration. Some might say, well, you didn't have that same, you know, anger you kind of used to maybe play tennis. No, I didn't need that anger to play tennis. I was talented enough. And the energy I needed was not an energy that derived from that. And his being there tempered me. I stayed within myself. And I won more easily that match than the previous city championship or junior high championship. I won it easier the second time around. His being there totally quieted my spirit. Now, he's just a man, but his presence and my respect for him being there changed me in a sense. Helped me to be a better person. I want you to know the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts and lives can help us, can change us, can form us into a better person. And we don't have to continue to go in that direction we're going in. I'm glad I told him about my temper tantrums I had at times. You know, I was shocked when he was there at that match, but he was there. And it made me refocus and get within myself in a better dimension. Folks, God can help you to live out your life in a better dimension, to express yourself in a better way, in a more godly fashion, through the work of his Spirit, and you're reflecting and thinking upon his presence. Amen. That's part one of our lesson that we were ministering in, considering presumptuous sins. Tomorrow be with us again as we continue in this message that was preached in one of our Bible studies. And I pray that God's blessing will be upon you. And I pray it already has in what has been spoken. And I pray that the Lord will deliver you from presumptuous sins like I pray he delivers me. And that something within the vacuum of the words and the scripture that was spoken will touch your heart and life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've shared with us today. We look forward to tomorrow. And we just pray your touch and anointing upon your word, and thank you for its entrance in our heart. Help us to take hold of those things that you want us to gain from this message, and help us to become a better Christian and to take in the temperament and the Spirit of Christ, and to express you rather than us, and that, Lord, you become more, you know, emblazoned upon the pattern of the fabric of who I am, and that I am less Patrick or less David or less Sue or less, you know, whoever it might be, and I become more like you, Lord Jesus Christ, and show forth that I've been with the Master. I love you and I thank you today. Touch the needs and the hearts and the homes of each and every one who's called into the prayer line today. Bless them, Lord, and strengthen them in their faith walk. Meet their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I pray, set them apart for your service. Bless them, supernaturally be with them, and show forth your miraculous power. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with us today here in the prayer line. If you need to reach us at Covenant Grace Ministry, please call us at 646-926-0401. That's 646-926-0401. Or email us at cgmfinc. That's cgmfinc@gmail.com. cgmfinc@gmail.com. Thank you. Be in touch. God bless you. And be with us tomorrow for the next part of this message. I believe God's going to bless you in a very special way. Till next time on the prayer line.